And we are live. This is Dark Journalist. What a fantastic crowd we have out there tonight in the ideas room. Just terrific. And this is going to be a brief update and probably take us right up to 9 o'clock. And it's mostly on some amazing things that are going down in relation to what I'm now calling election 2021, because it is moving into that. And it's all about what they're saying is Trump's last stand, January 6th. Well, Trump got a tremendous boost today, and we're going to talk about that in this election battle and the ongoing election that's going on. And then, as a matter of fact, some incredible news around the UFO file also came out, but was deceptively handled by the media. No big surprise there, as they're trying to force and sign on to this whole thing with the CIA, which is about a UFO threat versus actual disclosure. And I'm going to point out the very tricky language that they used about this legislation that got signed and got slid into and slithered into that COVID bill that they put there, and how Marco Rubio was a big piece of that, which is kind of, we pointed that out before on this show, that somehow Marco Rubio is now the point man on the UFO file. Figure that one out. One of the biggest neocons in the Senate, and right there in the hot zone as the senator from Florida. We have some great people out there tonight. Of course, Groovy is running the chat. We won't be doing questions because it's just a short update, and we don't have the lovely Olivia, but she's coming back when we do X100, which is a three-part episode starting on January 8th, which these are really the key episodes for the X series. As you know, we've been doing that X steganography series now through 100 episodes, and this is it. The 100 episode three-parter really is going to connect a lot of dots and blow some stuff out of the water. Couldn't be more perfect timing if you think about it. Now, I'm going to also point out some very interesting, I'm going to start off with this actually. There's some very interesting X steganography that is going on as the year closes. Now, X steganography, in short, basically is a naming mechanism that was developed in ancient times and then held over to hide programs in the 20th and 21st centuries. And as we look at this now, we can see that they adopted this from a much older lineage that the mystery schools used it for. It goes all the way back in traditional times to Johannes Trithemius, who was using it in this monastery, and he had adopted it from the Greeks, and they had referred to it as a page within a page. And so steganography, that very interesting science of looking at something, and those who know how to look at it get so much out of it, and the others, it just is something that's hidden in plain sight. A little bit different than cryptography and those types of puzzles and kind of complex structures. This is something that those who are on the inside of it understand it very well. And it's also a very good way to run a bureaucracy, because if you're going to run secret technology through different government agencies, you're going to need a naming mechanism so people will know what it is, but only certain ones will understand what it means. And, when I got into this and I was looking at the X steganography, I was finding in all kinds of programs that had to do with advanced aerospace that they were using these programs, and then they would go black, and then they would reemerge with the X steganography as part of the name. And this goes back to a lot of the work that we did discussing Walter Dornberger and, these Nazi scientists that got brought over. Became basically part of the first X series of very special planes. And that takes us into the chapter that we're in now of the Howard Hughes part, which we put out a documentary on earlier this year called X Protect, which is all about these advanced aerospace UFO file assassins, actually. And that's how they kept this technology secret for so long. And I recommend that as a kind of a foundation to all of this work. And it's right there available on our channel, and it's for free. There is an expanded version coming out on Amazon of the whole thing. So I'll get into that as we get into early next year. And we are coming up on 2021. Whew, quite remarkable. Some great people. I see some very familiar faces out there tonight. Let's start off with Elon Musk. Now, Musk made some incredible moves and actually became the second richest man in the world, which was quite remarkable. And that was all through the pandemic, but it was really because he was so deeply vested in the electronic car craze and the driverless car thing that's going to come about. He's also very, very deep into these space programs, but I actually believe that this incredible boost he's getting is more related directly to some things that aren't really available on the surface for us to see. So it's going to get very interesting as we talk about Musk, but Musk embodies the ex-steganography almost better than any modern figure. Of course, Jeff Bezos uses it with his Blue Origins, which is also a mission to an alien future, as they say. And there's Jeff with the ex-steganography. You'll see this often around the advanced technology as it comes up, as we've pointed it out in over 100 episodes on this show. I've got 260 examples of it. And I would say that only maybe about a fifth of the research that I have on all this is available now through the first 100 episodes of the X series. Okay, Elon Musk said that combining SpaceX, Tesla, Neuralink, and Boring under a mega corporation called X would be a good idea. Yeah, if you're the leader of the X steganography now, absolutely. and this is interesting because, you know, we talk a lot in the show about origins. If we can understand the origins of where the advanced technology came from, where these people who are putting themselves forward as leaders now and trying to really consolidate the world into a big one world dictatorship where they call the shots, and, you know, they call the shots about you get it taking shots in particular their, you know, DNA vaccine and all these things. So, you know, we have to kind of understand the foundations of what that advanced technology is to understand what's going on now. And Trump, I would tell you, President Trump is deep in that story. And I'm going to refer everyone to X series episode Tesla, Trump, and the Time Capsule, which is kind of a very important foundational episode. In sum, what it reveals is that President Trump's uncle, John Trump, not only was he called in by the FBI to go over the advanced scientist Nikola Tesla's papers, but he was also being mentored by Vannevar Bush, and Vannevar Bush being the head of the UFO file, as testified to by Robert Sarbacher, a very famous physicist, but he was mighty removed from the record books, and you can't even find a Wikipedia page with his name on it now. Isn't that funny? He's become an unperson because he went so far as to say, you know what? There is advanced technology, and we did find these UFOs and look at them and redevelop them and all the rest. And he opened up about it shortly before, you know, he died about a year and a half afterwards. So whether it's linked or not has always been a question. But that was sometime in the mid-1980s. And he had worked in these programs in the 40s and 50s, had been a very key figure. And the more I investigated him, the deeper that went, because he was all over the place, including in World War II, over in Germany. And he was also very keen on the hot zone and studying different types of sand in Cuba. So these things all come out as part of what we're looking into here. But the upshot is that, so this advanced technology has been there. And so Trump, when he comes into office, he has the information from his uncle, and he also has these incredible deep connections through President Nixon, as we've demonstrated on this program. So he's no ordinary, this is no ordinary battle between, you know, the left and the right, or communism, socialism versus right fascism. I mean, those elements are there, but there's something much deeper going on here, and it's for the battle of control of this advanced technology, and basically the rule of the planet and ongoing as they colonize these other planets. So it's a very big stakes game here. And Trump, with his knowledge base, really threw a tremendous monkey wrench into that. So Musk, when he's using the X technology, he's basically saying, I'm the leader of the advanced technology now. I've been dubbed that. But we've seen also that when he's made comments that are off color and things to this nature that, you know, his stock will plummet $4 billion, as if to say, naughty, naughty, you know, whoever's controlling that show, they're going to be the ones who really call the shots. But the UFO file and the X technology that is in the UFO file is what this is all about. This is what we see playing out. Now, we understand that when we're dealing usually with the UFO file, there's all kinds of things about abductions. There are things about UFO sightings, and there's a whole history there of about 70, 75 years. Now, in about 2017, the CIA, which had always denied UFOs and tried to spin out weird narratives and was involved with this group X Protect, which would use all kinds of discrediting means to take UFO researchers and you know, really destroy their reputations and things of this nature, and at some points actually use lethal force. So we saw this group X Protect and their very close association with the Central Intelligence Agency and with the aerospace wing of the military industrial complex. This is something that got exposed right after the Kennedy assassination through the work of Jim Garrison, the Torbit document, which is kind of like the WikiLeaks of its period. And that brought us, you know, we brushed up against that weird thing, whatever it was. And certainly in Kennedy's time, if you look back to JFK's time, there was already talk of two NASAs going on. And a lot of this had to do with the fact that these Nazi scientists that we brought over exercised tremendous control and their own kind of group secrecy. So, you know, Kennedy very often would discover extra programs, and then he'd send Robert McNamara, the defense secretary, over to NASA to say, why do we have two programs? Which is basically the first, it's the first declaration in print in some of those documents. Some of them came out in 2015. Of McNamara talking about this, and it's all wrapped up in those early programs. So Blue Gemini was one of the programs. Now, when we look at that, we can see that they were talking about the secret space program right there. There's a split. So there's development going on that is outside the umbrella and the purview of the president. Now, that's one side of it. Okay, so we've got the advanced technology side, we've got the ex-steganography. So today, as we have these stories coming out about the UAP task force and what they can do, this is something that all got set up through the hype that they were doing in the media around this. It was all planned and predicted, and Marco Rubio became the lead face in it. Now, TTSA was driving a lot of this, but they got so exposed because of their CIA ties, two of their main people just quit. And I think that they thought that they were joining some Biden administration, but that may not come to pass, as we're also going to see there's a tremendous challenge to the election going on now. And it's not just Trump, it's some very powerful Republican senators who are getting on this. We're going to get into this in this report. And of course, we have a lot more coming for you next week. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is a special update on Trump, the shadow of the UFO file, continuity of government, and the Central Intelligence Agency, which has engaged in a battle with the executive branch since 1963. And at times, they were so in sync with that executive branch that there was no problem. You know, like when George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush were in, that was hunky-dory. I mean, Bush 1 had been the director of the Central Intelligence Agency in the 70s. There's no problem there. He's their main man. So, but you can see with others, there was tension. With Reagan and with Carter, there was a lot of tension around the UFO file issue. And it seems like Clinton and that gang was not very well clued in on it, and they wanted to take it in 2016. That was what the whole Podesta UAP push was about. And DeLong and the To the Stars Academy, you know, Tom DeLong, who's the rock star guy who decided somehow they just plunked him in the middle of this To the Stars Corporation, all about UFOs. And so we got these stories in 2017 about, oh, you know, there's the whistleblower who's come out of this Pentagon program called ATIP, and that's an advanced aerial threat program. And he is going to really set everything straight. And they had pictures of him, you know, with this like hurt eyes there, and the New York Times like, oh, he's so dedicated, you know. And then the more that we got into the story of Lou Elizondo, the more his story fell apart. He certainly was a well-credentialed CIA officer, an intelligence plant in various agencies, but he had the things that he was talking about in relation to the UFO file and what he said he was revealing didn't really come to pass. I mean, it's very interesting because they built up this whole process around the TTSA. But one of the things I pointed out immediately about To the Stars Academy, which is all about this UFO thing and actually, you know, having people invest in them, saying, hey, you can invest in these shares. But I pointed out that there's over 100 hours of CIA experience, 100 years of CIA experience on that board. So let's think about this. That's basically just a CIA-run operation. And then the whole idea was to rope in whatever straggling UFO researchers were around it and sort of, you know, move on in, as it were, dominate the narrative. I've often pointed out that if you feel like the COVID op is all about taking away rights, just wait till you get to the UFO threat op, because they've been building that one up as people were in lockdown on this. So here we are. Now, I want to say that, you know, when you look at it, we're in a very strange point here, because they are talking about these things in the media after all. So the revelations today and yesterday, COVID-19 bill started a 180-day countdown for UFO disclosures, with an S, plural at the end. Very important. It doesn't actually start a countdown for UFO disclosure. It just means that they get to disclose to each other. So they have disclosures, interdepartmental disclosures. And that, you know, is the thrust of this, but on the top of it, it seems like it reads like, hey, it's 180 days to UFO disclosure. No, they're just going to be able to share things internally and leave the public out. Now, what it says here is the committee supports the efforts of the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force. This is a real thing, and I've talked with people around it. This was something that was set up, I think it's about 8 people actually, and they're all supposed to examine all the UAP, because you can't say UFO anymore. That's part of the PSYOP of this whole thing. The committee supports the efforts of the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force at the Office of Naval Intelligence to standardize collection and reporting on unidentified aerial phenomenon. That isn't redundant. Any links they have to adversarial foreign governments, in other words, is that a flying saucer from China that's over our nuclear base? Military assets and installations. However, the committee remains concerned that there's no unified comprehensive process within the federal government for collecting, analyzing intelligence on UAP. Despite potential threats, the committee understands that the relevant intelligence may be sensitive. Nevertheless, the committee finds that the information sharing and coordination across the intelligence community has been inconsistent. This is all Marco Rubio's Senate Intelligence Committee saying, we want more information. And when Trump signed the bill, they had loaded this into the COVID bill, knowing that if Trump had really refused to sign that bill, as he was threatening to, then he would have looked bad. They would have said, oh, he's starving everyone who doesn't have unemployment benefits because, you know, we shut down the economy after all. So this got into a very interesting tug of war. And we have to give a little bit of context for this, because what you had going into the 2016 election was the group around the UFO threat disclosure operation, which is largely the Central Intelligence Agency, along with some other interesting characters. They thought that they had it with the Clintons, and they thought, we'll be able to do this with Hillary Clinton. And that's why she was out there with Podesta, who's always been a big leader on that, you know, let's expose the UFO thing. But they were using him and his interest in it to get this whole thing going. So there's something bursting beneath the surface there, and they seem to be moving at great speed for someone to take credit for it or to own it. And this is where, in fact, we're seeing so much of this battle play out against Trump currently, because his decision on this was, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Space Force, I'm going to create this thing, and then we'll pull the UFO file back underneath the umbrella of presidential power. This is something that President Kennedy did, and, you know, he got into a lot of skirmishes in relation to the Central Intelligence Agency, the final one, of course, on November 22nd, 1963. We know, because it's documented, it's not a theory or a rumor, that only 10 days, this was part of an ongoing process, but only 10 days before his assassination, he had requested all of the highly important cases from the CIA of the UFO file because he wanted to share them with Russia at the time so they didn't have this kind of, you know, problem that would come up in relation, you know, if a UFO appears over a base, it sets off World War III kind of thing. But groups like X-Protect and aspects that interacted with the CIA were part of it in some ways, but also interacted with it that were on the aerospace side, really decided this was dangerous and that Kennedy was a national security threat that had to be eliminated. That's where so much of the Kennedy assassination comes up. And it's interesting because, you know, Trump, when he got into office, was supposed to reveal all those records as mandated by Congress in October 26th, 1992 is when they mandated it. They said 25 years from now, this stuff by law has to be released. And on the morning of October 26, 2017, the CIA director, you know, basically ran into the office and jumped on Trump's desk and said, you can't do it. Too many operational people may get hurt. It doesn't make any sense because the incident had taken place over 54 years earlier. There aren't any active agents from that, nor ways and means and methods. So it was just a stall job because it's not like what's in those files will reveal everything, but there's enough links there and enough things to be accounted for that it's incredibly problematic for the agency. So interestingly enough now, in this law enforcement journal, President Trump, you promised to open classified JFK assassination documents. Don't let us down. This is something that's just come out. And there are a lot of people on this disclosure end of the spectrum who want these types of disclosures. And I'm going to tell you why we have to understand disclosure in three different levels. So we've already seen that the media is interested in the fact that we are so interested, and it was the top search of 2018, the word UFOs and disclosure. The top search, aside, you know, from some like triple X type stuff. And I don't mean good ex-steganography on that. So those types of searches, they said, you know, we have to get a handle on this. We have to benefit from this. People are still interested in this, even though we shut them down. And behind the scenes, this technology was developed. We have to now give them, we're going to utilize and incorporate the UFO file story into what we're doing, you know, into this whole takeover idea where, you know, oh, there's a UFO threat. You have to fund us to defend you from that. And, you know, it's basically like the war on terror. Remember that? You know, it's just kind of nameless, faceless, invisible thing. And it's not that there aren't elements of it that are true when it comes to the COVID operation or the war on terror. It's not that. It's just that it gets exaggerated and it becomes this control system where they control all the information around it. They don't give us the data sets on it. And they, as a result, developed a tremendous amount of control over the population, something that even Hitler couldn't have dreamed of. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is an interesting kind of update report I'm doing here because of the things that are breaking today. One of them was this UAP task force saying in 6 months that they're going to have to give UFO disclosures. What it actually means is they're asking the Director of National Intelligence to give the Senate Intelligence Committee all of the information that he has around it. And so, you know, who knows who it'll be. You know, Ratcliffe is currently the DNI, but by the time you get to next June, it's anybody's guess because we have this gigantic push going on right now, which involves January 4th, 5th, and 6th. January 4th, there's a Trump rally in Georgia. relating to the control of the Senate for the Republicans or the Democrats. Of course, we have that runoff will determine, you know, the Democrats already control the House. So if they control the Senate as well and they install Biden through this process where we've seen a lot of voter fraud, then you'll have a government that is completely run through the Democrats. Now, I'm not here to debate Democrat and Republican or right and left. It has nothing to do with that. Basically, it is populace, the average public versus this thing. That's the way we need to think about it. The thing is largely, you know, this deep state dollar syndicate that's been running the world and wants to turn everyone into a kind of a digital meter that they can charge on a nonstop basis. And this is so much of the process. Of course, we talk about the people who get together at the World Economic Forum, and they've put people forward like Klaus Schwab, et cetera, as the fall guy, you know, because he really looks the part. But it's interesting because as crazy as he is, I think putting him forward was to create a villain that everyone could look at as opposed to Bill Gates, because Gates is somebody who they obviously said, you know, you can come forward and do all these things and you're going to be the most popular guy on earth. And he came forward and he started talking during the COVID lockdown of all these control measures and all of his injectables and all this stuff. And he became one of the most unpopular people on social media in history, as we all know. So that really backfired on them. So I think they just dangled this Klaus Schwab. But again, so much of this gets us back into the transparency that's required to get behind these walls of secrecy. And so the UFO file is crucial, which is why when we've covered things historically on this program, like the Kennedy assassination, like both Kennedy assassinations, Watergate, Iran-Contra, the Reagan era, they all involve different types of battles over this X technology. So this is what we're looking at in relating to this. So all these moves that we see now in relation to what's coming up here are absolutely crucial. Now, January 4th, 5th, and 6th are a crucial piece of this prize, because January 4th is the Trump rally for control of the Senate with the two senators to see if the voter fraud doesn't happen a second time and that they get in instead of the Democrats. And then January 5th is, you know, Trump activated a long dormant command memo that was left. It was an executive order that was left by President Kennedy in 1961. And it's called National Security Action Memorandum 57. We've done a couple of shows on it here, and it's sort of, you know, I think people are starting to understand that this is what the acting defense secretary, Christopher Miller, got rolling. And what that basically says is that on January 5th, the CIA, the funding and the support of the CIA on the Pentagon side goes away. And so people like Ezra Cohen on the Pentagon side were a big part of that push, and they invoked President Kennedy when Trump activated National Security Action Memorandum 57 on November 18. Now, what that said is on January 5th, we're pulling that. So that's a really major date because it splits off the CIA. And we've talked very much on this program about the CIA being its own kind of internal government. So if they pull the Pentagon support for it, the CIA, which has its own air force, by the way, but they're in places like Afghanistan, Yemen, and all that. Without the Pentagon support, they can't get away with those ops. And so it's a really dramatic move, and it goes back 50 years, over 50 years, to what President Kennedy was trying to do when he saw how out of control they were then. So you can see how these things all play out. So on January 6th is when they meet in the Senate to affirm the electoral votes for this very, very unusual, strange kind of circus of an election. And now there are senators coming forward who are going to disrupt the process of anointing Biden getting in with the kind of fraud votes that they had. And Josh Hawley is from Missouri, and he vows to challenge Biden electors, forcing a vote McConnell hoped to avoid. This is going to really make that a very interesting process. Now, there are a lot of things going on, as we've been reporting, on the Trump side, which are remarkable. One of the very interesting things that came up, and this had to do with an interesting character who was an inventor, came forward and gave us this really incredible, you know, he's created all these patents about, you know, the whole scanning technology that we see so often. Somebody holds up their iPhone and it barcodes it. And he's behind so much of this, and he's such an award-winning character, Mr. Pulitzer. Now, his Scan Commerce and Scan to Connect patent portfolio was bought, interestingly enough, by RPX, Rational Patents Corporation. So it just seems like we cannot avoid that steganography in relation to these things. But what he did was he was able to go through some of the voting process in Georgia and realize that they had the ability there to go back and forth and interact with these voting machines. So the possibility for hacking them, which had been denied before, saying that, you know, oh, they were online, they couldn't do this, they're offline, and so there's no way for a hacker to get in there and change the votes. So he's thrown that all out the window. And on Tuesday, now coming up, he is going to present all of his information. He already talked about it. They've already demonstrated it. So this is a major, it's part of those major pieces of this blowing up this portfolio that I was discussing yesterday, because a lot of people were just putting the weight on Pence and saying, well, Pence will throw out the states where the fraud was heavy duty, and maybe he'll appoint the second set of electors and all this kind of stuff. It's too much for one person, although technically in the Constitution, Pence can refuse state slates of legislatures and electors. So, but you could not put that, you know, it would seem to the public like that's a process that is so, you know, self-serving that we couldn't expect that. However, what I have thought about in relation to this, and what I've put forward, is that if the voter fraud had been really summed up in a real smoking gun fashion, there's a lot of it. There's over 270 pages that Attorney Sidney Powell has brought forward. If it's brought forward through someone like Pulitzer, Jovan Pulitzer, then we can expect that that with the public pressure and with, you know, the break in the dam of these senators coming forward and saying, you know what, this was too funky a process, I need this to be deeper looked at before I sign off on it. That's all that the Trump people are actually asking for, which is their honest day in Supreme Court, and also their day in relation to the electors. And, you know, we did have a Senate hearing about voting irregularities. Everyone agrees that there were major irregularities, but they're like, oh, they weren't widespread, or they weren't enough to swing the election, et cetera. Well, that's what needs to be investigated. And the media has just put this blanket down because their guy from the word go was Biden. And so this process of, you know, the centralizers, they want Biden to do the rest of the job of destroying the American middle class and demolishing Main Street, you know, which is what they tried to do with the lockdown. And we know that over half of those small businesses and restaurants won't be coming back because they destroyed the economy. So this is a lot of things which, you know, we're dealing with the election, the UFO file coming forward, and the whole coronavirus show. And again, so when we're looking at all these things, what we're looking at is behind the scenes, a central force that is working to centralize that power. And they can do it through the advanced technology in the UFO file. They can do it through the medical crisis. And they can also, you know, do it through destroying the economy. As, you know, Catherine Austin Fitz, we have on this program often, and it just had a tremendous, you know, some documentary crew came out, think it's called Planet Lockdown, and interviewed her. And really went into some fabulous things in relation to her work. And it was a very casual thing, but it took off because it was so refreshing, I think. And RFK Jr. promoted it on his Instagram today, of course. So we've had him on the show in June. He's coming back. And so we, you know, we're starting to see the dams breaking in a lot of different ways. The question is, this is a short time frame on the electors and the inauguration. So we're not going to make any predictions, but I can tell you that what they've been promoting in relation to Biden, you know, you just, I've followed elections for years and I've analyzed them. You don't win elections by just hanging out at a drive-in and in your basement. It doesn't work that way. You have to go out and you have to campaign like Trump did. So the fact that they did this kind of interesting little process with Biden tells you that in the background, someone on the DNC side said, don't worry, you know, the fix is in, basically. Now, on platforms like YouTube and Twitter, it's going to be going forward in 2021 that if you say that, what I just said, they'll remove your content. And they've said it. So basically, they're saying, we're on this guy's side. If you say anything against him, we're going to take you down. That's what it's come down to with big tech. They also need to be brought in. This is what Trump was talking about with Section 230, which limits their ability to call themselves just a platform. They become publishers and liable for the things that are on their network. That would destroy them. And it would turn the thing back to rubble, and we'd have to start all over again. And maybe that would be a good thing. So this is what it's becoming. Now, even 2 years ago, this format was a much freer place in terms of information. Now, you know, some of even my old videos with Jim Mars on 9/11 are getting taken down. So what are we really looking at? This is a precipice. We're just perched on an edge, and that is fascist control of information. We have to remember that. And then you also have to remember, why are they doing that and so openly? And the answer is they can't exist in a world where people basically speak the truth and show them up, because then they can't get, you know, with the coronavirus and that type of control they were looking for, they took a you know, medical emergency and they made it a worldwide excuse for fascism. That's not the same thing. And they also, most of their models were incredible fear-mongering, as we know. So you know, this is the nature of the thing. In the marketplace of ideas, the truth wins out. But if that marketplace is there and they're looking at it and they're saying, we need people to be thinking a certain way, then they have to get rid of channels and voices like mine on these networks. And they have to try to install a kind of false version of this thing. So this is what we've been looking at. And of course, you know, I always look at it and say, it doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, if I had to, I would be broadcasting on my little iPhone. So, you know, I'll always be there doing it. And their platforms aren't going to make a difference to me. But it's important when you see them taking down all these different voices to get a handle on that and to understand why. What's the real reason why they would silence? You know, they have got to a point now where when Trump, during the election, we saw this a lot, where he says anything and they put all these disclaimers and try to block the tweet, or if someone goes to retweet it, they're like, are you sure you really want to retweet that? I mean, this is really scary fascism. There's no question about it. That's where they're headed. And so they need to be moved back in a dramatic fashion. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. We are deep now in an update about the things that have happened. So the two main things they announced, that this UAP committee had to give UFO disclosures, plural, that means to each other, not to the public, not UFO disclosure, very important, in 180 days. So 6 months to that. And then there was a major break for Trump in terms of the voter fraud allegations, and that this remarkable scientist came forward and in fact, validated Trump's claims of voter fraud in Georgia. And that case is now going to be heard in next Tuesday in the Georgia, you know, in those councils. Now, also in relation to all this, we did a major story yesterday about the continuity of government players and what came up there. I just want to reiterate, so that we're all on the same page about this, that in Newsweek magazine, well, I'm going to read it again so they can't accuse me of being inexact. You know, William Arkin is somebody who's done a lot of, he's a well-respected writer. He's been around for years. He used to be with NBC News and all the rest. But he studied a lot about this continuity of government programs. And what's happened is he's fallen into this trap with Newsweek of saying, oh, Trump is after martial law, and this is what he plans to do. And he's talking to these continuity of government players who I said were very dubiously advertising themselves as the coming leadership and things of this nature, as if the coronavirus was going to give them some kind of an edge to say, you know, this general from NORTHCOM can take over. We've talked a lot about COG on this program and the continuity of government players. They were originally installed to be a warning, basically, to be a secondary government if the government got nuked. And they were originally set up in the 50s, and that process got, over time, abused by the likes of people like Rumsfeld and Cheney. So we've been living, actually, under COG emergency rules since September 11th. And that's why NORTHCOM now controls the airspace of the United States. So, you know, we used to be run by police, but in fact, we're run by NORTHCOM. And so the NORTHCOM commander is simultaneously the COG commander. Now, I pointed out Terence O'Shaughnessy and how he was the former commander, and they quoted a former NORTHCOM commander in here saying that there was a group that was ready to, I'm actually going to read it. Yeah, that's a picture of Arkin. And of course, everyone knows that I had a big dust up with him on Twitter, where Newsweek and Arkin, you know, blocked me and said that I was a fool and all these very interesting things. But the fact that they freaked out at my identification of retired NORTHCOM commander Terence O'Shaughnessy as the source for this article tells us that, you know, in fact, that was the source, and that's why they freaked out. And in fact, they never denied it. And that's Arkin, who, as I said, you know, took a bad turn with this, and that's unfortunate, but nonetheless. So the article is a tremendous fear-mongering article. It's called Exclusive: Donald Trump's Martial Law Talk Has Military on Red Alert. And maybe someone scared him into believing this. I don't know. Military commands responsible for Washington, D.C. are engaged in secret contingency planning in case the armed forces are called upon to maintain or restore civil order during the inauguration and transition period. According to one officer who spoke to Newsweek on condition of anonymity, the planning is being kept out of sight of the White House and Trump loyalists in the Pentagon. Read that again. According to one officer who spoke to Newsweek on condition of anonymity, the planning is being kept out of sight of the White House and Trump loyalists in the Pentagon for fear that it would be shut down. The retired flag officer says, I've been associated with the military for over 40 years, and I've never seen the discussions that are being held right now, the need for such discussions. Well, the military is not allowed to have discussions about how to take over the government, which is what I pointed out. And having known that he's used O'Shaughnessy, who was the former COG commander before he gave up the command on August 20th, to General Van Herk from the 509th, which, by the way, the 509th is the original Roswell bomber squad. You know, I recognize certain things in relation to the conversations that were going on here, and I identified it as O'Shaughnessy. This is very important because, and I've tried to get it up the channels so where the Trump administration could see this, because what they're saying is that there are military commands that are engaged in secret contingency planning in case the armed forces are called upon to maintain and restore civil order. And they're keeping it out of the purview of the commander-in-chief. I mean, that is incredibly criminal. And it's terrifying. It's like 7 days in May, you know? It's like Dr. Strangelove. So, you know, the question becomes, what are you talking about, Arkin? Where did this come from? Is this a COG takeover of the government? Is that what you have planned? Let's say that the Trump forces show legally on the record that there was voter fraud in those states and they throw out those electors. Are you going to unleash the COG force to take over and seize power because you've been able to develop it out of the visuals of the president? And then also by announcing it in this article, aren't you tipping off the administration? That's what you're doing. What exactly is happening with that? That's why I pointed it out. And I pointed out to them, of course, that it was, in fact, Terence O'Shaughnessy because of the way that they described him. And as a result, as I said, they went ahead and blocked me on this. Now, I'm going to keep coming back to this article over time because I think that it shows, first of all, a level of, you know, kind of insanity in dealing with this, that they think that they could get away with that, and that they're kind of applauding this, like, good, there are these generals working against Trump, who is still, by the way, president and commander in chief. You cannot have generals working against the president and commander in chief and keeping it out of sight. So who's doing it? Who's ordering it? You're making plans to what? Detain the president? It really has to be explained. There's no question about it. And this is why I've brought it forward and why there's been that big dust up there. You know, maybe they'll back off and say, well, he didn't really say that or whatever. But as it stands, Newsweek is on the record saying it, and my bringing it to their attention got me blocked and everything else. Okay, so that is you, Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, who I mentioned earlier. He's the award-winning inventor, the Scan-to-Connect patents that RPX purchased. He is going on the record saying votes were changed in Georgia. That is a mind blower. And, you know, I really, I'm thinking that this could change everything because I mentioned yesterday that they needed one thing. And if they have this tech genius and he's figured it out, this could be it. This could really make Sidney Powell's work, which was going to go through the courts and would have been like a 6 month process, you know, that would have been a different ball game. But this is very interesting, I think, for us to keep in mind that this might be that break in the dam. The other break in the dam, Senator Josh Hawley said, I'm going to challenge the electors. Well, we knew there were people in Congress who talked about that, but there wasn't anyone yet in the Senate who had really come forward on the record. Now there are two. So they have the ability to do it. Now, there are, you know, all kinds of political hijinks that can get pulled so that they can rifle this through. But the voter fraud issue, in combination with this electoral dispute, that brings us to a precipice where the election is ongoing. That's why I'm calling it Election 2021. Because according to my own TrueMap estimations, neither candidate has 270 electoral votes, so neither can automatically take it. The election should technically go into the House of Representatives unless they wanted to rerun those five states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, and Pennsylvania. Very, very. You know, they've penned a lot of people in with that extreme fraud. And I've talked to people who've looked at this politically on either side of the fence, and they both know how extreme the voter fraud was. And this is the nature of the situation we're in. The media is blowing it off and saying, oh, Trump, he's like, you know, Nixon in the bunker kind of thing. It doesn't wash, though. Too many people are aware of it. A recent poll got us to 52% of the public does not believe that the election was run fairly. That's a majority. So you got real problems if you are the deep state. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is great to have so many people with us here. This is very impromptu. We're going to wrap it up here shortly. And I just wanted to mention that something else, and this is going to be coming up in relation to what's happening on the show, which is we're going to be doing some episodes about what I'm calling esoteric intervention. And this is a phrase that has been used in different ways. I'm going to show you how we're going to use it. Talking about the UFO file, I always go back to the mystery schools because the same disclosure, remember I said there are different levels of disclosure. There's UFO disclosure, but there's disclosure related to the mystery schools, because we're talking about advanced technology. And by the way, the mystery schools have held that advanced technology for centuries, which has come up in the work of Nikola Tesla and John Worrall Keeley and the Theosophical Society, as we've demonstrated on these different programs. And I do recommend those programs because it'll give you that foundation on this. Sure, you know, just in summary, and we'll do a much longer thing on this in relation to that three-part X100 episode. There was a group called the Stell Group, which operated out of Illinois, and Richard Kininger was someone who came forward, and he claimed to have a lot of mystery school knowledge, and apparently did. He wrote a book called The Ultimate Frontier in 1963, and it caused quite a stir and all the rest. Now, it's too late in this program to get into the whole thing about Kininger, but Stell was basically a group of advanced technology people who would survive after all these earth cataclysms and things. So it was an intentional community, and eventually Kininger got into a lot of trouble, and suffered a lot of the things that cult leaders very often suffer, which is he abused his followers one way or another, financially, sexually, whatever it happened to be. But nonetheless, there were a lot of things in what he had been revealing as part of the Ultimate Frontier, because he had been part of a group called the Lemurian Fellowship, which was a direct branch of one of these mystery schools out on the West Coast. So very interestingly, just to give Kininger his due here, someone who's following up on some of this work back in 1979 wrote letters to Kininger. Because there was an essay in a book that Kininger wrote called Observations in the late 60s. The essay was called Space Vehicles and Travelers. And regarding UFOs, it said, some are interplanetary vehicles, other are of earthly origin. This is very interesting. The ones from which are from this planet are saucer-shaped, general cross-section, three hemispherical engine pods on the underside. They were first developed by man on this planet about 20,000 years ago and have been used by members of the lesser brotherhoods continuously since that time. That's a shot of Kininger. And the story goes deep because, of course, when Kininger unraveled, so much of the Stell stuff went away and there was just this echo of a community. And he had tried in his older years to start another community called Adelphi. So we were looking at a very unusual situation with him, but his direct linking of the UFO file with the Brotherhoods is crucial. And so we are going to get into that deeper. And we're talking about disclosure. If you have UFO disclosure, you're also going to get mystery school disclosure. And the mystery schools have been these groups outside of the fringes trying to influence the culture to grow and kind of develop. On the downside of that, there have been mystery schools that were, developed into secret societies and became schools of the left-hand path, and they've thrown everything into chaos. And there's a lot of that kind of occult activity. You see so many people following up and saying, well, you know, Katy Perry's using all this occult stuff or whatever it is. That's because there's that influence in the background of those original left-hand schools. And so there is a battle going on there. There's a battle going on behind the scenes of the national security establishment about the UFO file and the X technology. And then there's this battle between us and this, you know, thing that's looking for a centralized world government control. That's what we face rolling into 2021. We had that remarkable Saturn-Jupiter conjunction, which tells us, you know, it hasn't happened in 850 years, so we're in some really deep water here. There's no question about it. So going into the new year, that's what we'll be looking at into for you, and we'll be watching the events of January 4th, 5th, and 6th very closely before we come back with the X Series 100 on January 8th. So that's what we'll be doing, and, I have to say, almost on a daily basis, this story is changing, and I'm hearing a lot from my own sources about things that are taking place on the ground. And boy, we're getting it from all sides. That much I can tell you, whether it's in relation to technology, hacking infrastructure, political chaos, and these groups that are set to set themselves up as power players, and the election is kind of a good focal point for the whole thing. But there are all these things around it that are also taking place, and of course the UFO file aspect, gigantic. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is really an update to give you guys, the things that were going on today with Senator Hawley from Missouri, and also with the UFO file UAP 6 months thing. Like I said, watch the S on the end of that, disclosures, meaning they just have to interdepartmentally refer to each other on this. It's very important for us to not be, you know, kind of snowballed by the media on this, like they're pretending they're going to give us UFO disclosure. Very, very tricky stuff. And remember, as we've pointed out, the UFO threat, CIA UFO threat narrative has nothing to do with the actual UFO disclosure. Say that somebody like Stanton Friedman or John Mack, who are guys that I knew and talked with, and they were just really looking for answers on this and understood the government secrecy side. The CIA UFO threat side, they just want to say, oh, there's a threat out there, we're going to protect you. And as I've pointed out in this program before, if you think the COVID op was something else in terms of taking your rights away, wait till they get to the UFO threat op. So hopefully we can definitely reroute that entire experience. But it's great to be here with everyone. I'm going to do a couple of quick shout outs before I leave you tonight. And I noticed we had a good crowd tonight and last night, just excellent people there in the ideas room. Groovy, my hat's off to you, doing a great job. And of course, we're going to watch Yvonne's remarkable, the project she's going to be doing in 2021. And I also want to do a kind of a roll call of great things to follow up on. The work of Gigi Young on the esoteric side, gigiyoung.com is a frequent guest. She'll be coming on board as part of those episodes that are coming up, and we'll have her back. Of course, Dr. Joseph Farrell, I saw out there in the chat, excellent work, and it's great to see you, Joseph. We're going to have you back very shortly in the new year. Of course, Catherine Austin Fitz's work at Solari.com. And we just have great people out there doing extraordinary things. Carolyn Goida, of course, is out there. It's great to see you. And, everything from the work of Ilana Freeland, who is tracking that real kind of technology aspect, which is usually beyond our grasp. It's like, what exactly is happening with this new technology? And she's doing extraordinary work as well. And so we're just happy for all these kind of great people out there making it happen. Susan Manowich and the whole Breakthrough Energy Solutions that she's been working on. We'll have her on as well shortly. Of course, Alexander Bruce from Forbidden Knowledge TV, just doing extraordinary things for us. Looking into 2021, my real suggestion for all of us is that we get behind the work that's giving us the real answers and move away from, the things that have been distractions or fantasy narratives, as we've seen a lot of those too, as we've gone along here. But we definitely want to get behind and, get behind the programs, get behind this program. Make sure you're signed up at least for the newsletter and that you're getting that, because I'll tell you, so many people are getting thrown off social media with all the monkey business that they're doing. You just do not know, and it's hard to say. So it's better safe than sorry. Make sure you're signed up for the newsletter, and you'll just get a newsletter about every Friday. Once a week, it'll come in for you. And, as far as it goes, that's a much better way for us to keep in touch, because it keeps that pipeline going between us. In 2021, we have some remarkable guests to bring you, and some remarkable X-Series episodes that are coming up with incredible revelations. You do not want to miss those. And the best way to make sure you're on top of it is to be a member. Right now is a great time to get behind the show and become a subscriber so that we can continue to do the work that we're doing here. Hopefully, we have a new book from Dr. Farrell out there. And, of course, Professor Peter Dale Scott and the amazing work that he came forward and did. He came up with a totally new definition for the deep state. And I'm going to ask him if we can publish that at the beginning of 2021. He's actually working on a book about the Dark Ages right now. But his work is some, this is something that we really need to understand, because he got in and got us talking about the continuity of government program long, long time ago. And so instead of having people like Arkin out there controlling the narrative on COG and saying, hey, it's a good thing if these generals take over, we need more of the voices like Professor Scott. And of course, we'll be having a lot of them come on as we go on through the year. And I have to say that it seems like now the work is more important than ever, that we get together and we have this kind of vision about what's happening. And we're going to try to deliver that vision to you coming up. Of course, when we come back with the X series, Miss Olivia, the lovely Olivia, will be here as well. And we both wish you a tremendous new year coming up for 2021. A couple more shout outs here before I leave you. Dark Truth, Irie A, it's terrific to see you out there. Danielle Jorgensen, Bruce Ross Morgan, it's great to see you. We're going to talk soon. Najat Madri, terrific. I saw Kate out there. It's great to have you there. Ivermectin, somebody points that out. Incredible results that these doctors are saying about ivermectin makes the whole Franken vaccine seem completely unnecessary. Aylin Karma, it's great to see you. Terrific. Stephen Saccone, great to see you. Darth Brooks, huh? The real, the Darth Brooks? This could be interesting. I thought I saw someone named Matt Goodpaster out there. Is that the musician Matt Goodpaster? Because that would be an uncanny coincidence if true. Kimber, it's great to see you. Mikkel, terrific to have you with us. Paul, thank you for joining us. Great crowd. Like I said, in the ideas room tonight, boy, I know you guys have a lot of questions coming up. So we come back with the X series on the 8th. Wow. Now we might do an important update this weekend for all the incredible things that are going on. And of course, on January 6th, we'll be doing that live. Millennial Millie, there she is. Millie's new, Revenge of the Kraken. Wow. If you want your mind blown, watch that. Millie has really got on there. We just did an incredible interview with her last week and really following her great work. Maybe we'll get an update from her during the whole after the January 6th. Just remarkable work that she's doing. But that is going to be quite a big day with the incredible march for basically legal votes and legal voting. And of course, the Trump crowd will be there and they'll be all pumped up for everything that's going to happen. And it's going to be extraordinary. I mean, this is an extraordinary time in American history where people try to take back their government. And all these people are really asking for is an honest look at the votes. And I think that that is totally reasonable. But up to now, they've been denied that in any in the Supreme Court. And there have been the hearings. And whenever the Senate hearing kicked off, things were revealed, like today. So we're seeing this process have a lot of momentum. And so it's just fantastic for us to be here at this crucial time and everything that we do, getting behind the people that are giving us these great answers now, this is the best time for us to do it. So have a sensational 2021 and a great New Year's Eve coming up here. I'll do a couple more shout outs because there's so many good people. Scarlet Fire, it's great to see you out there. Bethany Green, Daniel Browning. We have some great guys on Twitter like David Termina, excellent kind of open source work that he does there, just fascinating. Of course, Giza Death Star, I highly recommend keeping abreast of all the work that Dr. Farrell is up to. It's great to see you. We have to talk soon. And Matt Galloway, great to see you. Of course, we have other great people from the ideas from Occult Fans, always up there doing great stuff. And Liberty Thunder, Bruce Ross Morgan, who's here. Just an extraordinary group of people who keep us going and entertained through the whole year with all of this. So we really appreciate it. We will see you all sometime this weekend with an update and on January 6th. And then the X series returns January 8th. And that is David Bowie's birthday, and it's also Elvis's birthday. So you can't get better astrology than that, let's face it. Thank you, everyone, and have a great, great New Year's. Remember to sign up for the newsletter at darkjournalist.com. And thank you so much, Carol Crumlish. I really appreciate the super chat tonight, and that kind of support makes all the difference. We truly appreciate all of our subscribers keeping us going here so that we're able to deliver these reports to you. And so have a fantastic New Year, and we'll see you in 2021. And you know, it says end broadcast, but after all, never really ends, now does it? Fubar Fighter, the man, the myth, he's out there. Jennifer and Bucks. Wow. Great. Unconscious Zone. Terrific to see you. Strother Hammond. That's a new one. A lot of new people in here tonight. That's fantastic. Great crowd in the Ideas Room. And we'll see you soon.